artwork with the ability to unsettle audiences with its half-spoken, half-sung surreal text. It mixes cabaret with high art. It also reflects Schoenberg's own numerological manias. You can also hear a brand new piece tomorrow evening which explores similar ideas. It's by Jocelyn Pook. It's inspired by her great aunt, Phyllis Williams, who spent much of her life in an asylum, struggling to make sense of the voices that she heard, and then writing her experiences down in a series of diaries and notebooks. It should be an intriguing piece. That's in Radio 3 Live in Concert. Charles Hazelwood is the conductor tomorrow night, and it begins at 7:30 here on Radio 3. Well, now it's time for World Roots with Lucy Duran.
Hello, and on tonight's World Roots, reviews of the latest world music CDs. And in session here in the World Roots studio, mesmerising songs from Mali's northern desert region by four superb musicians. Later on, I'll be talking to them about the problems that musicians from Mali's north are facing under the current political crisis. But first, with the song "I Faji," which means "I'm nostalgic," making his London debut, here is Sidi Touré.
Nikanga koi hala nenda kaho dantunda bani nase ifaji.
Fonda Gamoru Hala Nenda
Sidi Touré and musicians in the studio with Ifaji, I'm Nostalgic, an apt title for a group who are from Gao in northern Mali, but because of recently imposed Sharia law there, they're unable to return home. More from them later on in the programme. First, I'm joined by journalists and broadcasters Robin Denslow and Arwa Haidar to review recent world music releases. Robin, we're going to start with you. In 2 weeks on World Roots, there's going to be Greek music, including Rebetiko, recorded live on location from a troubled Athens. But now you're going to introduce us to a group who are based here in London.
Indeed, this is, as you say, a London-based group. There seems to be a lot of Greek music around at the moment. I don't know if it's just we're noticing it because we're sorry for what's happening in Greece, and therefore the idea of promoting a Greek band seems good, but that seems to be an awful lot of great Greek music. This is a very curious band. Chris Morfitis is best known as a producer, the Winnie Sigoma band from Kenya he produced, and other people like that. And he was listening to his dad's old records, he found, and came across the Rebetiko songs from early last century, songs of low life from Greece, songs of drunks and dodgy women and crooks and so forth, and got absolutely obsessed by it. And he's done his own version of these songs in a sort of post-punk, almost Velvet Underground-y fashion. It's very rough and very raw, but the idea, I think, is very interesting indeed. And this is one of those songs, Dervish Dance, which was originally written in 1930. It's about a girl with a golden shawl, hair tumbling over her eyebrows and mascara on her eyes.
Dervish Dance by the group Mavrika from the album with the same title, Mavrika. Arwa, what did you think of that?
I thought it was really interesting to hear young London talents take on the urban folk traditions of Rebetiko. Chris Morfitis, as Robin was saying, and his sort of the other core member of Mavrika, Katina, the vocalist, both have Greek heritage. And that kind of voyage of discovery is what fuels this, although they're joined by really interesting, talented musicians on this as well, including the drummer, the jazz drummer, Tom Skinner.
And Hassan Araji.
And Hassan Araji as well, exactly, on strings, on violin and oud. And the songs really bristle with brilliant, colourful characters. I think Katina really rises to that, particularly kind of fierce women, gypsy girls and hustlers and waitresses. What I thought, though, was it didn't actually sound as raw as I was expecting. I kind of thought that there was actually a slightly studied approach to it. partly because maybe they were sort of so conscious of the history and the heritage of this, and the fact that, you know, maybe the reverence that would surround these records from the 1930s that they were kind of going back to approach.
Robin, what do you think?
I'd like to see them live. I'm sure they're even better live. I agree with you. I think that first track is very good. Some of the other tracks are not quite as powerful. I think they could have beefed it up a little bit.
The sort of the reverence that musicians bring to Rebetiko, to recreations of Rebetiko, tend to make it sound a little more polite than it should if you compare such projects to the original recordings. And I think they bring something really quite different to the sound of Rebetiko. They do bring a sort of a UK sound to it.
It's also a reminder, I think, of the great music that's going on in Britain at the moment. So we always often, obviously, look at music around the world, because that's what the nature of the programme is. But different communities in Britain are producing some very, very great music indeed that shouldn't be overlooked. And this is one example of that.
Mavrika's eponymous album is out now on Solita Records. So it's Africa all the way for the rest of the programme because, well, now to you, Arwa, you're going to introduce the new rising voice of the Sahrawi people.
Right. Aziza Brahim was born in the mid-70s into a family that was already in exile in Sahrawi refugee camps in the Western Sahara. And she's currently based in Spain. She's had a very well-travelled life and she's a very accomplished performer. She acts as well as sings and plays. Mabruk is her first full album. And it's dedicated partly to the poetry of her grandmother, and it draws on lots of themes that are clearly very close to her heart, both familial and national heritage. And really the real kind of core power of her music is her voice, as we're going to hear on the track that we're going to play, which is actually a single release from the album, La Tierra Derrama Lagrimas, which means tears pour from the earth.
La tierra derrama lágrimas, tears pour from the earth, and that was sung by the young Sahrawi singer Aziza Brahim from her album Mabruk, which came out earlier this year on the French label Réaction. Robin, you're about to go off to the refugee camps.
Absolutely.
In southwest Algeria.
I'll be there in 2 days' time, hopefully, if visas go through. And I'm very much looking forward to hearing the music there, which sounds fantastic. I know you've been there already. I'm told that the music is extraordinary. I know that women play a very important role in the whole Sahrawi music. So it's something I'm looking forward to enormously. As regards Aziza, I've heard great things about her performances. She played at the Roundhouse in the summer. A lot of people who were there said she was fantastic. I didn't think this record really did her justice, largely because of the band. It seemed to me a bit like a pop band. It wasn't really Sahrawi style. She was trying to go for more of an international audience. It was a little bit ordinary, I thought. I'd love to hear her doing her own traditional songs, the songs from the camps, with a decent band behind her, and I'm sure she has enormous potential.
You're absolutely right. I mean, I'm afraid I have to agree as well. I think this album came with a weight of expectation. And if you do just look at footage of her performing live, the anguish and power and resilience and beauty as well of this music really comes through. Whereas on this record, even though she's playing with a band that apparently she's been with, an international band, including Pan-African and European musicians that she's been with for several years, the treatment sort of felt quite lackluster. I think it's that dilemma sometimes when you have an album that is really pitched as a crossover album that is going to take this talent to an international audience, and that shouldn't mean that it loses its edge. And I feel that in some ways there's been a compromise here.
Aziza Brahim's album Mabrouk is out on the French label Reaction. Robin, we're staying in Africa for our next album, which you are going to introduce, and this one is a collaboration.
Indeed, this is a curious one, really. It's the sort of album I thought I'd hate when I first read about it and saw who was playing. It's a combination of a French Afrobeat band, a Fanga, and a very, very fine Gnawa Malam, or master musician, Abdallah Guinée from Morocco. They, of course, are the descendants of the slaves of those brought across the Sahara to North Africa, who have their own spiritual music, their own trance music, which is quite extraordinary. And the idea of them playing with a French Afrobeat band, I thought was a bit curious. But to my surprise, I think it actually works rather well, particularly in those sections where the Gnawa dominates, as in this track, Kanoni. La fia bala, la fia bila. A casa mia la paia la tiene, a tina se cato.
Muhammad,
The French band Fanga with Moroccan Gnawa master Abdullah Guinea from their new album Fang Gnawa Experience. And that was their song Kononi. To my mind, that track works the best on the album in terms of a real collaboration between the two styles. But Robin, what do you think?
Well, they obviously got on very well. They met at the Détour du Monde festival in Montpellier last year, which was kind of French sort of let's try it out collaboration. Decided they got on very well indeed, loved playing together, made this album, and they're going to be touring together next year. So they obviously think it works, and I think for the most part it works. I like the way the brass interacts with the Gnawa, which I never thought I would, and amazingly I like the keyboards as well. It reminds me of the Doors in a way, the keyboards. It's very sort of doomy, it's not the old tinkly Casio rubbish.
It's a good stuff, organ
proper Hammond
like
organ
that.
And it's an odd fusion. I think I'm looking forward to seeing them live a lot to see what they sound like. But I think that does work.
I think maybe because I kind of naturally gravitate towards clubby sort of sounding music anyway. And obviously Fanga are a European festival band. I thought the track that we just heard is a lovely, languorous track that kind of really demonstrates this sort of very fluid ebb and flow and give and take between the two collectives that I think is really the strength of the album. I had reservations about the project when I first heard about it because, you know, that kind of idea of that meeting of worlds and that meeting of traditions and modernity doesn't always gel.
So many collaborative albums seem to have Afrobeat on them, and although I love Afrobeat, you know, I feel a little bit Afro. How would one say that?
Afro-battered.
Afro-battered.
That's a lovely
that's
term.
A good one.
That's a wonderful Gimbri playing.
Yes, that's the big bass lute.
I think Fanga kind of have quite an earnest approach to it, but they also sound like they're having fun together, and that's what pays off with this album.
Well, the album Fang Gnawa Experience by Fanga with Malem Abdullah Guinea is a new release on the Strut label. So now on to our final album, which features the first international release by a Congolese singer who lived in East Africa and who died nearly 20 years ago, but he's still remembered and revered in East Africa, and this album shows us why.
Yeah, we're going to hear an album that collates and celebrates material from the life and work of Moreno Batamba, who, as you say, is a Congolese musician and band leader. He actually died in 1993. He was only 38, but by that point he had already accomplished a lot of very vivacious sounding projects. This release is called Sister Pili Plus Two because it comprises tracks from a 1983 album that he released, Sister Pili, which was, I think, dedicated to his girlfriend. And the Plus Two is a couple of bonus tracks that are very rare. The track we're going to hear is from the original Sister Pili album, and it's Ayoko, or Danger Girl.
Mapenzi robo robo he, aoko nyako. Leave on clip. Oh. Hey, danger girl. Halaki you aoko. Mapenzi yako hasa kama biashara, kampuni yako leo yule kesho mimio, aoko danger girl wewe mama. Ninakuomba chagua moja mama, mapenzi yako kama karata, leo mimi kesho yule aoko. Oh, danger girl. Asha Aoko. na kuomba chakua moja aokoe mapenzi yako kama karata yeye leo mimi kesho yule ujuzi unayo aoko mama mapenzi yako kama biashara kampuni yako leo yule mama kesho mimi aoko denja kele ni wewe mama Chagua moja oko Mapenzi yako kama ya karata Kesho yule mimi leo Ujuzi unayo mama Hey, hey
A track that dates from 1983 by the Congolese singer Moreno Batamba. That's from the album Moreno Batamba, Sister Pili Plus Two, and the track is Aoko, Danger Girl. Well, actually, all the tracks on this album are over 9 minutes long, and that's the way they used to record music like this.
And very good indeed. I mean, wonderful, husky, soulful voice, great intertwining guitars, and the whole of that East African take on Congolese music. And it was they developed their own style of it while they were in East Africa, all the many bands that worked East Africa so many years and dominated the whole musical scene there. What's, I think, remarkable about this album is that it almost didn't come out. I was talking to Robert Avaris, I bumped into last night, from Stern's Record, who brought the album out. It was part of a whole batch of masters that were being kept in Nairobi, and then they were being, after that, moved to South Africa. And for some reason, they couldn't be kept in South Africa anymore. So he was asked if we'd mind looking after these master tapes back in London. So they were shipped to London, 36 boxes of master tapes, and they were going through them, and they came across the Moreno stuff. And the guy back in Nairobi who'd had the recording in the first place said, oh yeah, he was, you know, good in his day, but I don't think you want to bring that out. And they listened to him and thought, yes, we do want to bring it out, and I'm very, very pleased they did.
It's a bit of a cliched thing to say, but I mean, you do feel that if he had been able to continue at that same momentum of creativity, that we would be talking about someone who was really an established international star. And there's a real warmth and familiarity, a strange familiarity to his voice when you hear it on these tracks. One thing that I kind of wanted more from the album, but maybe that's just a mark of how gripping the music is that Moreno Batamba still emerges as a bit of an enigmatic character to me. When you look at the sleeve notes, you get a sense of someone who had incredible drive and was very well travelled, and just listening to the music, you can hear the rapport that he has with his fellow musicians. But it's strange that it kind of just gives you these glimmers, these kind of tiny bits of you know, scraps of notes that he left at hotels, and he's a sort of strange, fleeting, transient character.
I think people don't know very much about him. He was one of the many, many Congolese guys who went across to East Africa to try their luck. Had a wonderful voice, played with all sorts of bands, with Orchestra Virunga and others, did tremendously well. But
changed the language that they were singing in. Started
exactly.
Singing in Swahili, which gives it a different flavour.
Very
but
much
essentially,
so.
It's still very Congolese. It's that kind of old school Congolese rumba.
But he himself, I think, in many ways, yes, a mysterious figure. Not all that much is known about him, other than the bits that appear on the sleeve. But what a great voice.
Well, that album, Sister Pili Plus Two by Moreno Batamba and the orchestra, First Moja One, is just out on Stern's. Many thanks to Robin Denslow and Arwa Haidar for joining us here on World Roots. And don't forget that there are full details of all the tracks played on World Roots on the Radio 3 website. Well, now back to our session with the Malian desert bluesman Sidi Touré, singer and guitarist from Gao in the north of Mali. Here he is with his three musicians in the World Roots studio making their London debut. This is the song Kala Ai Makoi.
Tikna tamiditin tikne taraha
Four wonderful musicians with us here in the World Roots studio from the north of Mali. Sidi Touré is the singer and the guitarist, accompanied by Alas Baba on calabash, Khalil Touré on guitar, and Kanja Abdoulaye Kone on ngoni. And that song was Kalei Makoi. Sidi, of course, I want to know about your music, but you live in Bamako, which is the capital of Mali, and you've been living there for a long time. But actually, you're originally from Gao, which is in the north of Mali. It's the region that's now occupied and under control of various Muslim Salafist groups who, amongst other things, have banned music as part of Sharia law. And, you know, to my mind, the north of Mali is just one of the most musical corners of the world. So how do you feel about what's happened in the north of Mali?
La musique sert à communiquer.
Music is the world's greatest tool for communication. And in a world where there is no music, well, eventually the people will start eating each other. In Mali, we've seen lately the military forces of the north attacking the forces from the south, and the south attacking the north. And what was once an extraordinary, peaceful and peace-loving country, where people lived well and lived happily, is now constantly under military threat. We never used to see the military in the streets. We never even saw weapons. Weapons used to belong to barracks, but now they're in the markets and they're in the streets, and the whole northern part of Mali has been taken hostage.
So there you are, living in Bamako, and I understand that hundreds of thousands of people from the north of Mali are now exiled from their homeland.
It's really painful for me. That's why in my songs, I feel I must sing peace in Mali, peace in Africa, peace in the world. War makes orphans, it makes widows. I'm not a military man, and I'm not a politician. My weapon is my guitar, and my voice, and my songs, and I will carry on using these as best as I can. But I think in the end, reason will triumph, and we will have peace.
Sidi, I know that you are Sonrai, you are of the Sonrai ethnicity, like the late, great Ali Falka Touré. So does your music reference Sonrai traditional music?
Yes, in the music you can hear the traditional Sonrai rhythms, like the takamba, the hole, and the gaugau. And we believe now that those rhythms were taken by the Africans who went as slaves to America. And those sounds were used by the blues musicians. And since then, with the recordings of the blues, those sounds have been coming back to Mali in a new form. And the great Ali Falka Touré was the one who really first opened this up. What I play is the roots of all that. When I was making my first album, someone said to me, "Wow, you're playing Mississippi blues." And I said, "What's that?" And the next day, I saw a cassette of American blues in the market with songs by John Lee Hooker and Muddy Waters. And I listened to it and thought, they're playing our music. It's exactly the same.
Tell me about this style of music that's one of the traditional rhythms of the Sonrai people, which is called hole.
Well, hole is the name we use to describe music that in Haiti or the USA or in Europe might be called voodoo. It's trance music. You can't become a hole singer. You have to be born as one. I'll sing Hole Chimay. It's a dance of possession. And in the song I talk about the Sonrai deities, like Dongo, who is the king of thunder. I talk about Dr. Markerson, who wears a white coat and carries a syringe, and Mami Wata, who saves children from drowning. Now that Islam is spreading so much, this old religion is being lost. But I remember my mother, who had special powers. She used to be able to swim in the river with the hippopotamus and the crocodile.
And so we end with Sidi Touré and his three musicians playing music of trance from the north of Mali. Hole Chimay.
Hay que hacer kwe hampu Kahai ka sende chire nola Kalaram mahan Chennai ne gasu Koma isa bai manni holal magana Garhaya borom maka foma Garhaya borom maka foma maka zanka maka yara Garhaya borom maka foma Garhaya borom maka foma maka zanka maka yara
Music of Sidi Touré, ending World Roots for this week. It was introduced by Lucy Duran. The producer was Roger Short. And World Roots next week starts at the usual time of 10 o'clock, featuring highlights of the Songlines Music Awards concert.
On BBC Four, Valdemar Januszczak continues his journey into the Dark Ages with some surprising revelations.
The Visigoths were never naked savages clambering about Rome, destroying civilization. They were pioneering Europeans.
A people to whom we owe a great deal.
It was actually these so-called barbarians who invented trousers. Riding a horse was much easier in trousers.
The Dark Ages. An Age of Light continues with What the Barbarians Did for Us. Tuesday night at 9 on BBC Four.
This is BBC Radio 3. We're broadcasting between 90 and 93 FM on digital radio and in high-definition sound online. It's just after a quarter past 11 now, and next tonight, this week's jazz lineup, presented by Kevin Legendre.
Hello. This week, Jazz Lineup bring you two bands at the cutting edge of the British scene, playing sets that were first heard at the London Jazz Festival just a couple of weeks ago. It was a programme made by Jazz Lineup but heard in Europe via the EBU, the European Broadcasting Union. Well, we here at Radio 3 have a chance now to listen to an edited version of that concert performed at the Claw Ballroom of the Royal Festival Hall. In the second half of the programme, we meet Robert Mitchell's Panacea, a group with a very individual repertoire. But our first band is Ian Ballamy's Anorak. The group is led by one of Britain's most versatile saxophonists and composers, who's liable to show us that there is more than one way of stomping at the Savoy. Accessing all areas of the jazz tradition is Ian Ballamy, and he's joined tonight by several generations of great players. Gareth Williams is on piano, Steve Watts on double bass, and Tim Giles on drums. Ian Ballamy's Anorak.
Thank you very much, Theo. Hearing six new tunes never played before. That one was called One for Gary. That's for Gary, who used to work at Borough Market, Gary the Veg. And this one's called What's in a Name. Thank you. Thank you very much. That was called Magical Madrigal. We're settling down now. This is a piece called Chomping at the Savoy. Thank you. We've got time for one more. This is due to a friend of ours having walked down the street and seen a random sign. Just said Lobster Upgrade Mondays. And I thought, that's got to be a tune. So this is Lobster Upgrade Mondays. Thank you very much. Hope you're enjoying the festival. Gareth Williams, Tim Giles, Steve Watts, Ian Ballamy, Anorak.